Today's message comes from the 20th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the first verse through verse 16. God's realm is like the estate manager who went out early in the morning to hire workers from the vineyard. They agreed on a wage of $1 a day, and they went to work. Later, about 9 o'clock, the manager saw some others hanging around the town square, unemployed. He told them to go to work in his vineyard, and he would pay them a fair wage. And they went. He did the same thing at noon, and again at 3 o'clock. And at 5 o'clock, he went back and found still others were standing around in the town square. And he said, "Why are you standing around all day doing nothing?" And they said, "Because no one hired us." And he told them to go work in his vineyard. And when the day was over, the owner of the vineyard instructed the foreman, "Call those workers in and pay them their wages. Start with the last hired and go to the first." Those hired at 5 o'clock came up and each were given $1. When those who were hired first saw that, they assumed they would get far more. But they got the same, each of them $1. Taking the dollar, they groused angrily to the manager, "These last workers put in only an easy hour, and you just made them equal to us, who slaved all day under the scorching sun." And the owner replied to the one speaking for the rest, "Friend, I have not been unfair. We agreed on a wage of $1, didn't we? So take it and go. I decided to give to the one who came last, and the same as you. Can't I do what I want with my own money? Are you going to get stingy because I am generous?" And here it is again, the great reversal. Many of the first end up last, and the last first. Amen. We lost my husband. Are we still online?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so this is a cruddy reading, isn't it? I mean, because it really kind of hits a nerve for most of us, right? Because obviously if you work an hour, even if you did it by today's wage, what is it they talk about, 15 an hour? Isn't that what they say is what people are supposed to be making, is 15 an hour? 15 times 1 hour is 15, not 15 times 8. So I would imagine that most of us are sitting here going, yeah, this is not a good story, Pastor. You ought to probably pick something else to talk about. In our materialistic minds, this is obviously a troublesome parable. It seems to be, as I've titled the message, completely unfair. It is absolutely unfair. And what is Jesus trying to tell us? That we can wait till the very last moment? You know, Saint, who was the guy that became a Christian in the Roman Empire? What was his deal? He didn't do anything until the very end of his life. And then he wanted to be baptized and give his life to Christ. And why? Because he was dying, because he said he was too bad otherwise for the rest of his life. So he waited till the last dog was hung. But I want to tell you this morning, and you knew this was coming, didn't you? That this really has nothing to do with money. It isn't about the amount of work that was done. It is about the absolute sovereignty of God's love. And that is the issue. That is what Jesus is addressing. The currency of the kingdom of God is not money, it is grace. Grace comes to us as a gift from God, totally unmerited, in the spirit of all of our efforts, whether they be worthy or not. There is not a time clock or human chronology having anything to do with this. It is said, and that's the story I tried to tell you, that the Roman Emperor Constantine waited until he was dying before he was baptized, because he had so much sin to be forgiven, he was afraid that he would sin again. What he forfeited was not his eternal life, but a full and mature life as a faithful Christian, free of fear and able to contribute a full life to Christ's mission to bring the world under God's love. In other words, what's really hard about this parable is wrapping our head around the idea that God loves everybody equally. And you know what we want to do with that when we hear that, right? We want to sit back and we want to go, but what about? But what about? And you remember the story when Jesus in the post-resurrection thing came and reinstated Peter. You remember that whole thing where Peter had denied Jesus and what was it, three times? And then, you know, denied that he was ever around any of that stuff. And then when he showed up, he asked Peter if he loved him, and he forgave Peter, did he not? He forgave Peter. But then Peter, no more than gets forgiven and finds out that he's going to be a martyr if he continues to carry on the message. And he looks at one of Jesus' disciples, John, the one that was allegedly beloved, and he goes, well, what about him? And what was Jesus' remark to Peter? Do y'all remember, anybody?
Never mind him. You follow me.
Amen. You see, that's what this story is about. I keep telling the church all the time that you got to connect the dots with these stories. And this story connects exactly what Jesus' ministry has been all about. Jesus went to those people that were outcast and said, hey, you belong. That's exactly what this story is about. Those people that didn't get hired, we want to criticize them, right? They didn't get hired till last. Do you all remember, those of you out there that played sports when you were younger, you remember or on the playground when sides got picked? I'll pick that one. This one got picked there. And what were you? The last one picked, amen? Or sometimes maybe not even picked at all. These last folks that went to work were on the way on the outside. Nobody wanted them. Think about that. Hold still for a minute and understand where your life is. And how many times have you thought to yourself that you're not good enough, you're not wanted, you can't do it? And then there stands God in front of you and says, come on, come with me. Because as far as I'm concerned, you are wonderfully and uniquely made in my image, and that's enough. See, it's not about money. And it is the great reversal, because we live in a society that's very competitive. We have winners and we have losers. We have people that are in the elite group and people that are down here. But when it comes to God's love, it's all about bringing everybody in. You remember the story of the prodigal son? Yeah, you remember that dude? He went and blew his entire inheritance, got crazy, and partied down to the point that he lost his job. He had no money. He had no way to eat. And when he decided that, you know what, I really screwed this up, I need to go back, while he was a long ways off, what? His father ran to him. There was no judgment. There was only the happiness that he had come home. But what did we get? As I was telling Paul, we got jealousy, did we not? Because the brother that had stayed was like, dude, what? You're throwing a party for him, and he was a perfect idiot. And what did the father say? What did the parents say? Everything that I've had has always been here for you. You've always done right. You've always belonged to me. You see, that's what the real message of Christianity ought to be about. There is nobody that is outside of the reach of God. There is nobody that is outside of the embrace of that unconditional love. How does that change things? It changes maybe the way we Look at people. Everybody is a child of God. It makes it kind of hard. What?
I was just wondering, then how do we deal with these churches that tell people you have to do it this way or you're not loved?
Never mind them. You follow. You see? And thank you. I mean, that's exactly what it's all about, folks. We get too tied up in what everybody else is doing. And what we ought to be doing is loving unconditionally. Jesus gave us one command, did he not? And that one command was that you love one another as I have loved you. And how did Jesus love us? He loved us by embracing us all, by bringing us all in. You know, I've been watching The Chosen. You've heard Lance talk about the show The Chosen. And they do such a great job of getting this message across. Do you know, last night, in one of the scenes last night, Jesus goes to Samaria. You know, that's where the Samaritans are. That's where the Jews and the Samaritans are not getting along. They hate each other. And Jesus decides he's going to open up the message. And you see him, first of all, talk to the woman at the well. And you all know that story, right? And she all of a sudden realizes that he's talking to her, a Samaritan. And he knows everything about her. And he's still bringing her in, telling her that she counted. And she ran off and she goes and tells him. And then you see the group of them walking up to a house with this guy that has his broken leg. Now, prior to that, James and John, and you have to understand how they tilled the ground back then, right, I guess? It was not easy, amen? It was a real hard thing. And they tilled this ground so that there'd be all kinds of plants and things that could grow because the guy couldn't do it because he had a broken leg. But John and James didn't know that. Jesus told them that they were just doing it for the future. Then they show up to the guy's house, and they realize, wait a minute, we just worked all day to do his? And then guess what it turns out? Do you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? You remember that story? That was a guy about the story about the guy that was traveling between two distances, and he got beat up by robbers? Great storytelling in The Chosen, because who they're sitting down to have dinner with is one of the robbers. His leg got broken after he beat up this guy because the horse that he stole from him threw him off. But he's also got a family and a wife and kids, and the reason that he robbed the guy was not so much out of hatred, but out of need and necessity. And you hear that whole story, but you're all sitting there going, wait a minute, this is the guy that beat up? And of course he was feeling guilty because he thought he killed the guy. And Jesus looked at him and assured him that the guy had not died. They had a meal with him. And the long and short of it is, the dude's broken leg was healed the next day. This was a guy who beat somebody within an inch of his life. And yet Jesus gave him a message that if in a relationship with God, everything can change. There was what? What's that word? Oh, yeah, forgiveness. There's the ability in God's world to get it right, no matter how many times it takes us to get it right. It's got to be this way, folks. You've heard the story about the man who died and went to heaven. Peter meets him at the pearly gates and says, here's how it works. You need 100 points to get into heaven. You tell me all the good things you've done, and I'll give you a certain number of points, depending on how good it was. When you reach 100, you get in. Okay, I was married to the same person for 50 years, never cheated on him, even in my heart. That's wonderful, said St. Peter. That's worth 3 points. Well, I attended church all my life, supported its ministry, tithe and service. Terrific, said St. Peter. That's certainly worth a point. A point? Well, how about I started a soup kitchen in my city and worked in a shelter for the homeless veterans? Fantastic. That's two more points, said St. Peter. At which point the person cries, at this rate, the only way I'm going to get into heaven is by the grace of God. And St. Peter said, 100 points, come on in. Every one of us, folks, no matter how tempting it is to judge the idiots in our lives, are under the grace of God. And if we could just find a way to treat folks as if they were under the grace of God, and we believe that, we would have a better world. Final story. There was a Sunday school superintendent who registered two new sisters in Sunday school. And when the superintendent asked them how old they were both seven. My birthday is April 8th, and my sister's birthday is April 20th. And the superintendent said, girls, that's impossible. The other sister spoke up and said, no, it's true. One of us is adopted. Oh, the superintendent said, which one? And the two sisters looked at each other, and one said, you know, we asked our dad the same question a while ago, and he just looked at us and said that he loved us both equally so much that he couldn't remember which one of us was adopted. Brothers and sisters, today, know that God has looked at you and can't remember what it is that you did that would cause you to stay out of heaven, that would cause you to not be in relationship with God. Know today that God says, I love you fully and unconditionally. Go in peace. Amen.